Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Visky, bro, Migos Podcast. And we coming to y'all. We got to talk NFL draft. Just to let y'all know, as of recording, Shadur has now been selected. He has been selected. We'll get more into that. And we're also going to talk WWE. We're just going to talk two things, but we're going to talk so much juicy, good information.
So much.
And that's all coming up right here, Bruh Migos Podcast. What we got to do, Rob?
We going to hit that music on a draft day because the draft is ending. And yeah, that.
Yep. Almost ended.
Oh. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Go. Rob, Visky.
What up, though?
The NFL draft. Mm-hmm. It's still going on.
Still there.
One of the biggest things has finally happened that has people on their edge. Shadur Sanders finally drafted to the Browns. 144. What the hell is wrong with you NFL teams?
You got NFL teams being petty betties. Like, no reason at all. No reason at all. Because, look, I can understand. Like, I said it on the show last week. He had a better chance of going outside the first round than getting drafted by the Saints. If I didn't see his ass going past the second round, I kept telling people when he didn't get drafted in the first round, I'm like, look at basically who was drafted in that next round. You had the Browns that was basically had two of the first four picks. You had the Niners there. You had the Raiders there. You had teams that basically could use a quarterback. Not the Niners. That's for me, Mike Petty reasons. But like, you had other teams that were there. Even the Titans were there for a little bit. Like, you had teams that were there to basically go draft another quarterback or draft a quarterback that they can basically use. Somebody that has, from other people said, like a high floor that basically can be used for a team that maybe could use a quarterback right now or in the near future. And all these teams were selecting, like, you had the Saints picking, I'm saying your name wrong because I see what it says, but I heard people say it the other way. Tyler Slow. Like, 25 years old, been in college for forever. I remember, like, the draft analyst, like, well, he's seen a lot of football. Yeah, Methuselah's seen a lot of earth. That doesn't make it better. Like, you can only, like, saying that basically somebody has more experience at the college level does not help them in the pros. It just helps them with the college level. There's two different things here. And everybody knows this. You have the Giants drafting basically a name, trading up to draft Jackson Dart. Like, it was one of those things, like, they had their mouth ready for Jackson Dart. I know, pause. But they had their mouth ready for Jackson Dart, and they basically was like, I want me some Jackson Dart. Whether I got to get it in this first round or I got to get it one way or another, I'm going to get me some of that Jackson Dart. And they traded up to go basically get him for reasons I don't know. I just don't. But anyway, it's the thing of, like, all these teams are going to get quarterbacks that are seemingly lesser than what Shadur Sanders was. And that is just like, he's just being petty for no reason, trying to humble a dude. Like, get the fuck out of here with that shit, dog. Just get out.
Man, Visky, what do you think happened with this whole Shadur thing?
I mean, first of all, we already know it had something to do with, you know, he wants to come out here. He wants to be just like his daddy. But you got to realize in today's climate, you can't be your prime like person. Not going to fall in. Feel like they punished him because they really just didn't like his daddy. And I just want to, on the second track, as much as, you know, I am a Bama Roll type fan, there's no way I draft Miro before Sanders. No way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I felt like he was trash on my team. I was like, he is why we lost.
How do you decide to draft a guy who has had accuracy issues versus a guy that accuracy is his thing?
Exactly.
This was just horrible. And Saints, look here, Tyler Slow, Soul Glow, some of you fucking NFL GMs got to go right now. Get the hell out.
Bars.
I'll be firing people if he would have dropped that far. I couldn't believe that he just kept dropping. And I remember at one point last night, I was like, they got to come out here and say April Fool's, and the draft was over. And I was just sitting there. I was like, they got to come out here and say Shadur name, dog, because it's no way he's still dropping.
Which is absolutely wild, because, like, you got to look at what the Steelers are. The Steelers have, let's count it, the possibility of Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson. You're telling me Shadur's worse than that? Even if your whole thing is, well, Aaron Rodgers, one of his things is you shouldn't basically go draft another quarterback. And he's going to do what? Like, he has no bar. If that is what is out there, he has zero leverage. What is he going to do? Why, you going to be that much worse without Aaron Rodgers? You're not. So what would that even do? You basically pass up on a dude and really got nothing to basically lean on right now. So you being petty is going to hurt you for absolutely no reason. It's no point of it. Like, I don't understand it.
Let me be stepping away. I'm just trying to feel like they must have some kind of answer. Something must be going on to where they feel like they could pass on. Aaron Rodgers must have verbally agreed, and they just ain't released nothing yet. It got to be something.
Visky, it ain't shit that you could tell me to make me pass exactly on him at 21 to say I don't have a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers not going to last forever.
Even not at 21. At the second round, the third round, all these picks kept happening, and they kept taking dudes. Even with the whole first pick, it was like, okay, yeah, cool. It'd be great to have a defensive tackle. But you motherfuckers have had a shitty line for years. You don't even go offensive line. Like the thing about it is they've been making mind-blowing decisions. And granted, Mike Tomlin is there. He's not the only one. They got the GM, who I forgot his name off the top of my head. It's like Omar Khan, excuse me. He basically, like, they have to basically be held accountable for malpractice of their team. Like, they can't basically say that we basically didn't fortify our line and do the best for our line, especially in the first round, and didn't do the best for our quarterback position. We said we get dudes that ain't shit. Generally ain't shit, even if you put in the possibility of Aaron Rodgers. All right? It's not adequate. It's just really not.
If I'm Steelers Nation, I'm whipping their ass. I'm whipping their ass. Because there's no way that we get here. It's Skylar Thompson, though. Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
If you told me your grand idea was, I'm gonna come out there and start Skylar Thompson
on purpose.
I'm gonna tell you, I'm going to grab the nearest college quarterback and start him back there too, because that's what you're doing. That Skylar Thompson is seventh round, 247 pick. The guy ain't even got 100 completions in the NFL.
Basically washed out of the Dolphins, being Tua's backup, because everybody saw like he ain't it. And repeatedly saw that he ate it. Even with that, basically, pre-fired Mike McDaniel.
No, this was... Go ahead.
This is crazy part, though. Now, y'all know, as much pleasure as it brings me to see the Saints fail, you know, I had them, you know, I had the Saints at least picking them up at 9, and they passed them at 9 for a tackle. Then number 40 gets here, and I'm like,
They got to take him.
Tyler Slough.
They got to take
him. Slough.
I'm like, who is this guy? Who?
Dude that played in Louisville that basically people talked themselves up about, like, as time went on, and basically said, hey, this is a guy that he fits the part. He's like 6'5", 2-something. Basically, he's a guy that has ability, even though, like, he broke his collarbone like a year or two ago, broke something else, tore something else. Like, this is the great dog, by the way. Like, if y'all saw the dog, like, during draft day, great dog. Like, a very beautiful dog, but not beautiful game. I don't even know how his game look. I just want to say that. But
not learned from Brock Osweiler about these tall ass quarterbacks that look good
and
then get paid? They look like they're supposed to be up here and then they not there.
Nah, it's so hard hit.
It was to me a travesty. This was them trying to make a point out of him. But I'll say this. If the Browns can fix certain things offensive talent-wise, he's probably the best quarterback that they got. Unless Deshaun Watson has a reemergence. Unless Texans Deshaun Watson steps out there on the field next year, he's probably the best quarterback that they got. Shadoo is probably the best one.
I would say watch out for Raining Frogs and, you know, Locusts before that happens. At this point.
Yeah.
It's snowing
dry. I mean, I'm telling you, though, it's bad. But they did get Quinshon Judkins. They've picked up some pieces. Like, I'm not going to lie, they picked up some pieces. Mm-hmm. But it's like, dog, it is... You got another defensive tackle to put across from Garrett. You got a linebacker. You got a running back. You got Harold Fonin Jr. Dylan Gabriel pick is just asinine.
It's stupid. They could have they wasted a draft pick to go get that dude.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. Yes. You needed a receiver. Go get a receiver.
Right.
And they needed a running back because they didn't even pick Nick Chubb back up. So who they
got? They got Quinshon before
Quinshon Judkins, and they got Dylan Sampson. Like, those are two really nice running backs to basically refresh their shit.
Why would I go
run with some newbies?
Yeah, you might as well. Shit, it's Cleveland, baby.
Those are good newbies. Let's not front here. Like, those are good newbies.
They are.
I'm not saying they're not good newbies. It just seems like Browns just keep rotating rookies every year.
Just because niggas keep getting
hurt. Shit, and on top of that, bro, that quarterback list keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And then it's just a merited thing.
Gonna push Joe Flacco into retirement?
Hell yeah.
I mean, shit, something been needed to. That man's like, what, in his 41?
He 41, man. Go sit your ass down, bro. You good.
Go be a family man, Joe Flacco.
Nah, bro. Nah. I got 2 feet. Don't mean I want him cut off, dog. You need to go ahead and sit his ass down somewhere. Chill out. Look, go be with your family. They made money. Hey, I know because he had he was another one of them, had like $100 million contract. You made a bunch of money, dog. Go chill out, dog. You don't need to play no more.
Sit that hot ass down.
Yeah, bro. You got this. Let that go. But they did waste a pick with Dylan Gabriel. Injury prone. Everything was wrong. Why? It's like me going to the car lot and say, give me the best broke up new car you got right now.
That was another pick where they had me in here sounding like the New Day. I was like, ooh. I mean, even though I do know who he is, I was just flabbergasted.
This was just a statement to Deion that we not gonna let your son come in here, and we gonna punish him for being your son. We're gonna try to make an example of Bob, man. It's cool because I hope that he shines in Cleveland. And you know what? I hope the best, and then I hope the triumphant words. I hope that he take y'all to a Super Bowl, and then y'all might not win, and then he decide to leave. And he send y'all right back to mediocrity, bitch. I hope he send you right back down. I want the worst.
And then just
I want you to get a good hit of it. You're like, we were right there. And then he'd be like, I'm going somewhere else. And they're going to be like, no.
I can taste it. I can't get it.
I hope he bring y'all right there, and then he goes somewhere like Dallas or somewhere and just leave y'all there. Y'all be like, no. Be like, yeah, bro. He left y'all right there. Just
don't sound too bad.
Left y'all hand extended. Just we was right there. Now, as I've kind of looked over the draft, guys, I said this before. Yeah, before the show started, I gotta say this, guys.
Go ahead.
Chicago might be an issue coming in here in the NFL if their players start to click. They got a tackle, they got a defensive tackle, they got a linebacker, a cornerback, but more importantly, they got a wide receiver and a hellified tight end. Probably the best tight end in the draft, you ask me, Loveland. and got Luther Burr.
From?
The Lou.
Thank you. East Saint, 618. Got love for y'all.
Robin the Lou.
Ooh, what else am I supposed to do? That's the six. Yeah. I am, the heart is still buried there. Like, I am the Lou. The Lou is me. Born and raised, 314, forever. Will always be that. Like, that's my town. No matter where I am, the Lou will always be with me in my heart.
So I will say this. All they need right now is to be solidified at running back. And they could be an issue with DJ Moore, Luther Burden, Loveland. They may make a little bit of noise.
DeAndre Swift and Roshan Johnson, I think, as long as they're healthy, that's at least decent enough. Like, yeah, I think that you can get by with that. Though. Yeah, you can get by with it.
Yeah, because let's be real. They had been a lot of offensive struggle last year. People know he can only throw it over there to Moore. The rest of them can't catch out here, so. But now we changing it up. He has a legit threat out there. Two more super legit threats.
Yes.
This is going to be interesting. I like this draft a lot. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of depth. Even though you guys act like Shedeur should have been in fifth round. He should have been nothing less than second round. But you know. Not gonna harp on that anymore. I'm gonna let y'all ride.
Yeah, we got plenty more though. I have enough energy. I have enough energy to keep that on. And if you need enough energy to keep that on, you should go get you some W. That's dubby.gg. Go there, get you some W, and use Bromigos Pod, promo code Bromigos Pod to get you 10% off when you do. So absolutely, go ahead, get you some energy, get you a dub. Like some of these teams trying to get with this draft, you know, like some of these teams not trying to get, you know, like the Steelers, even the Browns, even though they took Shedeur. Like, you go ahead, get you a dub. Be unlike these petty ass teams in the NFL. Go get you some W.
So I'm gonna start with a team like Arizona. Arizona went defense heavy though. Arizona went super defense heavy. They are intending on trying to stop the ball this year. They went tackle, cornerback, edge rusher, linebacker. And who knows what they're coming with next. I'm not going to say I'm totally 100% in on that offense. Marvin Harrison Jr. has to take a step. He has to take a big step from being a first round draft pick last year for Arizona. I was very disappointed because I was like, you're a bigger, better version of your daddy. And we haven't saw that. And you hell out and you did all of this other foolishness, which, you know, it washed over. But
there's like only one Marvin Hill. Marvin Hill.
You don't think so?
Go ahead.
I don't know, though. I don't know. What you think, Rob? Because I know what I think.
Oh, no. I think he's going to be better. I mean, he's, like I said, he's got the speed, got the hands, got the strength, got all of those things. Like, his daddy would probably say he'd be better than him. Like, and I won't say his daddy because, you know, the thing is, you know, his daddy be looking, his daddy be lurking, his daddy be... Whoever his daddy is, basically is a great, great gentleman. And we at Bromigos Podcast love that gentleman who is Marvin Harrison Jr.'s father. But like, yeah, no, he's got all the talent, got all the makeup. I think he just had a rough rookie year. And I think the chemistry, it seemed like the chemistry between him and Kyler came on at the end of the year. And so I think that basically it's going to just take some time. But oh no, I think it's going to work out. I think he'll make a big jump this year. It was just growing pains in the first year.
Yeah, definitely. This is Kyler Murray. I can't say that it's him yet, but I will say him only being 5'7" doesn't really help his case.
Well, I like Connor in the back. He's doing what he needs.
Yeah.
All I'm gonna say is him being a 5'7" quarterback isn't the best thing, you know.
I mean, he did throw for almost 4,000 yards last year, 21 touchdowns, yeah. 11 interceptions. It was talked about as basically the greatest quarterback to ever come out of Texas. So, I mean, he has the pedigree to do things. But it is that height is a thing. And they're still working out the kinks, because this is what, Jonathan Gannon's second year, third year with that team.
I think it's his third, Rob.
Yeah, so I think it's his third. So I mean, they gonna figure some shit out, and I mean the NFC West isn't as good as what it once was, because the Niners are gonna basically regress. The Rams are up in the air. They might be a good team, but they're kind of up in the air. And then the Seahawks also up in the air with Sam Darnold becoming their quarterback, with a lot of turnover with DK Metcalf leaving. They did try to basically get some defensive help in the draft, but like it's also gone.
Lost Tyler Lockett, so.
Yeah. Yeah, like this is a team, this is a division up for grabs more yes. than it's been in a while.
Yes. Yes, definitely, definitely. Okay, from what you guys have saw so far in the draft, who do you feel like is coming out on top, draft-wise?
I mean, if I have to be unbiased for a second, because that's really what y'all come here for, my objective opinion, I look at the Minnesota Football Vikings, and I look at them and saying, like, you guys have plugged all your holes, especially going out and getting Donovan Jackson in the first round. Something that basically that's been needed
the guard, yes.
needed yes, for yes. years, especially with what y'all already did with the refining of the line, going out and getting Ryan Kelly, going out to get Will Fries, going out and basically having Darisaw and Brian O'Neill coming back healthy. Like, that solidifies us and really, the Vikings as a team to be formidable when you still have Justin Jefferson, all-pro receiver on the outside. Jordan Addison, Pro Bowl caliber receiver on the outside. TJ Hockenson basically being there, coming back healthy. JJ, now basically JJ McCarthy, now basically having the reins to himself and going out and actually getting a suitable backup quarterback in Sam Howell. I can only say that basically this Vikings team, with that draft pick in the first round, solidify themselves as really formidable for us.
I'm not going to totally glaze your team, but you guys made a pick that was really smart. Ty Felton, I don't know if you guys saw him whenever he was in a combine.
Yep.
Super fast. Vertical threat, 6'1". He's a little small, 183 right now, but he's probably going to put him.
Yeah, the cat out of Maryland.
4. Yep, 4.37, 4.37 40. The boy is blazing fast. He can track the ball. He's a very good deep threat. I'm saying that he's over Naylor. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can put him out there. He's versatile, dog.
Which Naylor was killing it last year. Like, we've had a good run of, like, third wide receivers, like, between Brandon Powell, Josh Naylor, KJ Osborne. We've had a good run, but yeah, this dude is going to probably be wide receiver 3, which that's going to be good for us too.
So I'm going to go a step further than that, because I watched him work out. This might be y'all new number 2.
Shucky-ducky.
I saw him work out. His eyes are there. He tracks. Whenever I mean he tracks the deep ball, if you can get the ball out there, he can go and find it. He can definitely go and find it. 6'1", I figure he's probably going to put on at least another 5 to 10 pounds. He's probably going to be somewhere around 195 at 6'1". He should be big and strong enough to battle with a lot of those DBs out there. This might be y'all other, hey, Justin, we know you got a double over there, but this dude, we might put him in the slot and let him slide out there, and he going to whoop. Take the top off, and we're going to get one with him. This could be the next step for y'all offense. I want to see where McCarthy is, how everything's going to go with him, how y'all are going to do with that, if everything's going to be cool. It's just little things. Y'all got a guard, things like that. But who do you feel is made a good splash, Jarvis?
Well, this might be a surprising pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to be biased like Rob and say my Cowboys, even though we did plug a lot of pieces that we needed. We got a lot, you know, O-line that we lost 3 O-line, so we needed an edge. But anyway, my standout are the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did they grab Abdul Carter, mm-hmm. I think it was a surprising steal at running back to go get Cam from Arizona.
Oh yeah, Scatterboo.
Yeah, Scatterboo is nice.
Interested to see what Cam Scatterboo is gonna do on the field. I'm excited for him because I think that could be some magic. And even though we know Jackson Dart is not a great quarterback pick, I think the position of where he's in the depth chart makes it a okay pick. Because I don't That's think fair. Anybody above him, you know, you're not going to put anybody that was better than him in the third spot. You know, they already have their backup in James. You know, they got Russell starting. So I don't think anybody that was better would have been a good fit for the third spot, the depth chart. So I think they really made a splash in this draft to really get some good pieces to actually plug in and make some noise.
That's very good. Another team outside of my Chicago pick would be Indianapolis. Indianapolis picking up Penn State, Tyler Warren.
Yes.
They got an edge. They got a cornerback. You went and got a lineman in Jalen Travis. Mm-hmm. You picked up DJ Giddens. They're looking to fill out. I'm still questionable about them at quarterback. To me, just the inconsistency at quarterback. I'm not even going to lie to you, though. That alone might have made me go and get Shadur. Because I'd have been like, he's playing in the dome. We were 9-8 last year, 9-8, 8-9. We're right there. We just need a consistent quarterback play, which we didn't get. That alone would have made me possibly draft him if I was Indianapolis. But I gotta give credit where credit is due with the Tyler Warren pick and with picking up an edge rusher, cornerback, and plugging your line, trying to just, you know, assure things. Now, Jarvis, you know, we got to talk about your Cowboys every night. And this, we had to do it before we get to wrestling, dog. So I got to say this. Y'all plugged holes, but still have major issues.
Yeah, because we got too many holes. That's the problem.
Fair point.
This was a thing where the Tyler Booker pick was amazing. Y'all have to keep Dak upright.
Yeah.
Problem is, we might be able to keep him upright, but he still only got one person to throw the ball.
That is a problem.
And this is a problem. And last time I checked, you need to throw them things called touchdowns to make them things called points to try to win the game. Because you got to have more points than the other team, and you either going to outpoint them or you got to stop them from getting points.
And that's the thing. I don't feel like we had any pieces to really help Dak produce on offense. I'm not satisfied at what we did at free agency. You know, I don't know if they expecting Javonte Williams to just amazing season. Sanders, I don't know what they expecting him to do. But neither one of them were really, to me, great and is going to like, take leverage off of that. I mean, we just drafted a running back today. You know, so I don't know what they're going to do with the rotation. So not having another wide out, we didn't really pick up none of the wide receivers we lost. So we just let them go and didn't replace them. So I'm a little worried now for, you know, the passing game. You already had bad route running. You can't have good route running if you ain't got good receivers. So we don't see what they're going to do.
Look. They still got, like, Tej Johnson is out there. Isaiah Bond is still out there.
Mm-hmm. That'd be
y'all
cool.
Need to make, yeah, y'all need to make a shot at one of these other guys that's still out there. Look, Cowboys fans, it's not that me and Rob hate y'all because we got a Cowboy face. Hey,
I don't say I hate y'all. I love y'all. Never stop. My underlying love for y'all is there.
Rob loves y'all because y'all always give him something to talk about.
Exactly. See?
See, that's why Rob loves y'all because y'all always give him something to talk about. Me,
for the gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly. Me, it's not that I hate y'all. It's that I hate how just unrealistic sometimes those expectations are.
But ain't that realistic on paper? Like, on paper, it makes sense.
What kind of paper? Like rolling paper? Like which paper are you talking about? But that's the thing though. Unrealism, like That's the beauty of life, man. Like, if we were all just basically robots, very logical, very objective, that's the fun in that. No, man, we need some variation. And Cowboys
fans. Y'all acting like these NFL GMs here. Y'all see confidence, and y'all want to say it's unrealistic. You know, all right, GM Price, GM Rye.
If y'all turn the team over to me, I'm going to get that bit right. I'm going to tell you now.
I'll at least make it more fun.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I know to some people, confidence looks like arrogance to some fan bases.
Nah, so, not over there.
Nah, not over there.
Some of y'all confidence is the cocaine high of the 80s is what I feel like it is.
Sometimes that high don't stop.
They still riding the white dragon over there for a hot minute, dog.
But that's the thing. I'm cheering y'all on. I like it. All right. Keep it up. Keep up the good work.
Them boys is going to always be them boys. So I want y'all to remember that.
Keep that on. Keep them that
boys
keeping
is
on.
Always going to be them cocaine cowboys, too, you.
When y'all team, your 5 rings, y'all let me know.
I want to know how many people on the active Dallas Cowboys roster was born. Let's just say born the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. Can we go? I want to take a look. Y'all talk. I'll fact check. All right. Y'all keep the show on going. I'll fact check this.
I told you, Jarvis, you shouldn't start. I'm going to lie
for 3 of them. So
and you ain't on the roster. But that's my exact point. I was alive for it, but I want to check some birthdays. Hold on, let me. Y'all go ahead. Go. I got this.
He gonna fact check to see how young my team is. You know,
the oldest person is the kicker, Brian Anger. Anger at 36. So there you.
Let's see. Last Super Bowl win was in 95. Let's see. Let's check some birthdays.
They gotta be under 30.
Yeah, I see. Hold on. Y'all
got a bunch under 30, nigga.
Yeah.
You know why the Cowboys gonna always be relevant? People like y'all that just can't stop talking about. You know, that's why we always...
I can't believe the mockery of some of the shit that they do. That's it. That's why I can't believe it.
That's it.
We know Jerry is a problem. We know.
13 is according to Pro Football Reference. 13 players on the Cowboys roster as of today, according to Pro Football Reference, is older than 30 years old. So there was, So basically, that's how many people was alive. And I'm not checking birthdays. But the iceberg is basically still a bunch of motherfuckers that never seen y'all actually rise to glory. And even when it comes to these motherfuckers, the oldest person is 36. So how old were they basically when this shit happened? Like what, 5? Were they watching this shit happen? No, 5, 6.
I'm 35. I watched it.
Okay, well, I'm saying 34, 30, you know, like these are some motherfucking toddlers that were there. There's more watching shit in their drawers than watching the Cowboys actually win. But that's what I'm now just saying. What's good?
How many Super Bowls were you alive for the Vikings?
See now you got to bring that shit in there? Like, why do you
just answer that question?
We want to talk about Braves. Like we could go sport for sport. Like, you want to go Braves? How many World
you
mean Series
the
titles?
The same Braves that just won the series versus the Cardinals, them Braves.
I'm talking about World Series. And look, now we're mismatching times and shit. All right. Now we're mismatching times and shit. Cause your come up is gonna come for y'all anyway.
You wanna bring up the Braves, I can bring up a recent victory over the Cardinals, you know.
Bring it up. I'll bring up our World Series titles and how y'all bridesmaids 15 straight times and only came up with one ring.
At least we was at the win.
Yeah, y'all got the cardio of it. I'm glad y'all did that. I'm glad y'all were able to make that happen. You know, I'm glad that y'all were able to come and basically catch the bouquet. Still ain't got no ring. Only one ring. All right. Glad y'all basically were able to do that. Meanwhile, my team were basically able to do that 11 times, brother. 11. 11 all right? Huh.
Let me see. How young was your pops when that was going on?
He was plenty old.
Was your pops even here yet when they were?
For at least half of them, I would say that. At least half. You know?
Man, say at least half. At least right, half.
At least half. Motherfucker.
Oh my God.
Prime time, Amazon Prime, Prime State, Vikings, and whatever. I'm just saying, like, it don't matter. It don't matter. We'll see what y'all do this season. We'll see what we do this season. How about
now,
that?
Now, one more thing in NFL before we move on to wrestling. How do y'all feel about the unretiring of the number for Cam Ward?
So, I'll say this, because this has been a topic that I've been really wanting for all sports to basically do. I am okay with retiring numbers, but I want the number to be displayed in a way on the jersey that signifies whose number it was unretired from. Because Lawrence Taylor just actually had this same thing with Abdul Carter. And basically, because Abdul Carter said 50. Yeah, and he said no. But, and the reasoning for what he said was, hey, go make another number and go retire that one, which actually is a very cool thing to say. But but Warren Moon was like, hey, go do something with this number. I did something, even though, like, Tennessee Titans, he never played for the Titans. He played for the Oilers, which were in Houston. But still, to the fact of the matter of, I would rather it be to where these numbers are retired, but if you're going to unretire it, have the number in gold. Have that specific number where it showed and it basically is displayed out for that person that has it. So, like, right now, Thomas Ajayi, who was on the St. Louis Cardinals, is wearing number 25. Which is the same number that Mark McGwire wore when he was with the Cardinals. I would rather that number be in gold so people could basically look at it and say, who was that? Why is his number in gold? Then know that Mark McGwire's number wasn't gold, was one of the more important members of the Cardinals franchise. And basically, you basically could know, like, hey, this number means something. Yes, they're going to run out of numbers. You can see the Yankees got motherfuckers in like 77 and shit. Like, yeah. You are going to run out of numbers. So instead of just having that number not being able to be used and being like a Monument Park or in the rafters, have that number on the field so that person's legacy can basically be. So like for your Cowboys, for example, Michael Irvin, Drew Pearson's number. Like to have that number when CeeDee Lamb goes on the field, he knows I am wearing the number of true legends. Somebody that basically is coming into the game and seeing that can basically be like, hey, what's going on with that number? Why is it in gold? And then they can be like, oh, well, that was Michael Irvin and Drew Pearson. Who were Michael Irvin and Drew Pearson? And then now you get a story out of it. I think that should be what sports should do. Have these numbers unretired, or if the number is unretired, have it be signified as something great, because that's what it is.
Yeah. I could agree with that. Goal outline and make it go or do something to make that number just worth it.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Do something to make it worth it. Yeah.
I'm on the LT train. That's my goddamn number. I made that number great.
That's fair.
You going to run out of numbers, you better start using 1.2 or something. Go to 100.
You'll be having motherfuckers in halves. Like, exactly. He's got fractions on their jerseys.
Better put that in 1.5 or something on his jersey. That's what it would have been.
That's fair, though. I'm good with that, too.
I get your point, but I get your point. I like it, but I don't agree with unretiring the number. Like, if you already retired, it was not retired, and you just want to, you know, shine on some previous players that were, yeah, but if you already retired, I don't agree with unretired. Even though Warren Moon gave him his blessing, that's him. So if he give his blessing, I guess I'm cool with it.
I can kind of be cool with it, but it just, I don't know. It kind of ruins it just a smidge for me. That's just me. But now, from NFL, out there on the gridiron, to end the squared circle.
Wrestling.
Raw after WrestleMania recap.
Wrestling.
First of all, starting with the Raw after WrestleMania recap, I just want to let all you kids know
that
those tears for Cody Rhodes, they're just too sweet. I love every one of your tears. I just want to let you know that whenever you were crying, I was like, is that a 7-year-old? He really loved Cody right there. He loved the hell up out of him. That tear is just ungodly how much love it got in him for Cody Rhodes. Too bad I'm a piss on that shit because his last ain't one. John Cena, Randy Orton is the new storyline now. Take your ass to the back of the line, Cody. I don't want to hear no more about you. I don't want to hear that stupid ass song. I don't want to see them kids hollering about it. I John Cena has one
well family.
Look, yeah, you better do something. The damn sure ain't winning against John Cena, and I don't care what nobody say about that. Hey, I seen plenty of you brats cry the other night. Made my goddamn day.
Right here.
And I'm saying 17 times, baby, 17 times. Loved every moment of it. Now. Mm. That I've got that off my soul, just to let you little brats know. I see that we have mixed feelings about WWE Unreal.
All right, so y'all heard about WWE Unreal? Like, did y'all see the commercial for it?
I did. I saw some clips of pictures. Yes.
I saw a little bit about it.
So for me, I am kind of mixed on it. And here's why. So like, when it comes to WWE Unreal, if you guys aren't aware of it, WWE is actually going to have a reality show on Netflix, basically saying, I think it's on Netflix, either on Netflix or Peacock. I think it's Netflix. But basically the show is going to be going into the writer's room for WWE and talking about the story creation and some of the things that they do as far as that goes. Here's where I'm on the pro side. So pro, I'm with it because so many wrestling fans for so many years have basically talked about the writer's room, the WWE writers, the creation, yes, the creative team, all this kind of shit. So kayfabe has been quote unquote dead to an extent for so long. And it's been so in a way that basically people are not wanting, or, you know, smart marks or whatever. They want to basically be like, hey, I know what's going on there. You can't fool me, Oz. I can peek behind the curtain. Now they're basically getting to see Oz themselves. And basically Oz is like, hey, here's a day in the life. And so that's kind of interesting to me. On the con side, I don't like basically, you know, peeking behind the curtain. I think that basically you kind of got to leave some shit. You got to leave some shit to the imagination. Like, you got to basically have some shit where basically people aren't knowing what the magician's tricks are. And maybe they keep that, some of that stuff in house, because I remember like one of the questions that Triple H got asked after night one or night two about the creative process with going from Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes to John Cena, and some of those kind of things that he detailed, like how basically some of this, but he was talking, but it was more like he was trying to keep a little bit of secrecy, a little bit of like, hey, let me not give the whole game away of why we go and how we do what we do. Because there is a part of that where, in my mind, like, even as a wrestling fan that's been watching wrestling since the late 90s, I still look at like how wrestlers have never worked with each other. Like, say, Stephanie Vaquer and Io Sky, who I've never seen wrestle each other. So if they wrestle each other in some promotion, I didn't see it. But like having those two basically get in the ring and have some level of chemistry and be able to do each other's moves and big up each other's moves, or Randy Orton and Joe Hendry, like people that have never worked with each other and basically had that level of camaraderie and stuff like that. So I'm peeking behind. He appeared. But basically having that kind of shit, it's like, I'm not as big on it, but I'm also like going to watch it sooner or later.
Yeah.
So I don't know how y'all feel about it.
So my thing about it is this. I'm kind of with you. I don't want to be in the writer's room, but for different reasons. Because if you show me the motherfucker who came up with some stupid shit, I'm going to want his job. I'm going to want
like,
his job.
Like, I need that scout. Like, oh, it was you? Like,
yeah. Yeah. But I don't want you to show me him because I'm going to be able to look at him and the first thing I'm going to say is you look like you came up with this stupid ass shit right now.
Mm-hmm. How did you pass your performance?
Right.
How did they let you slide?
Oh, you were the mastermind behind the turn. Oh, okay, motherfucker. All right. Let's go to the parking lot.
Yeah, just come outside. 5 minutes, though. 5 minutes. That's all. Yeah, like, 5 minutes of your time, my chief. And we ain't going to jump you, though. We ain't going to jump. But that's why I think I don't want to see it because I don't want you to give me a face like they gave me with Vince Russo. Mm-hmm. They gave me Vince Russo on a platter. Mm-hmm. Vince Russo is lucky that he hasn't been skinned alive for some of the foolishness that he's come up with in wrestling.
Everything on the pole was him.
Exactly. So I don't think.
Well, also Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
He
at least didn't put her on a pole, you know. That would have been over the line. No, Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
That would have been too crazy.
No, I'm telling you, it's so bad because I'm like, do you realize that if you do this and we figure out who made these bad decisions, you're going to give us a chance to fuck them up. Because wrestling fans can be crazy.
Oh, yes.
And they're going to be looking for these guys.
And we're serious about it.
Yes. And this ain't going to be pretty for you motherfuckers who make bad shit.
Yep.
It's not. Because we have masterminded how to make things play out ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been better than some of the stuff that y'all have came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And say, oh, but y'all on the outside, not on the inside. Well, sometimes I feel like they need to pull a few people from the outside to do what needs to be done on the inside because some of y'all, I don't think, are fully tapped in. Y'all are there, but you're not there.
Right.
So this is a dangerous game to me. This is a dangerous game to me.
I just don't like it because, you know, the little bit of kayfabe we had left, the little bit, is like, it's about to be the final nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like The Rock has already been doing it, you know, in this post, you know, interview, press conferences. He always talk about, you know, this is just a storyline, this part, what I did here. He already pulling the veil, and I'm like, really not, you just like, ripping the whole curtain down. And it's like, the dirt sheets already gave us enough of. The dirt sheets gave us enough of the stories and maybe this on the leaks of the Royal Rumble and everything. They gave us enough of that.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson said this ain't my primary source of income no more, so it never mattered to me.
Like, whatever happens, happens. And to be real, I can be cool with it to an extent because it's at least everybody bitches and moans and complain because I kept seeing on Blue Sky up and down. Why do y'all watch this show? Yo, y'all know it's fake. And so if basically they like, yes, it's fake, but or yes, it's staged. And here's what the staging is. Here's the behind the scenes of the stages. Because we just basically had Ryan Coogler basically talk about Sinners and like how his creative process as far as making that goes. It's like Triple H can basically, not saying he's Ryan Coogler, but like he can basically say, hey, As a lead of creative, as a director of sorts, here's what I basically do as far as telling the story of my product. And I mean, there can be some cool shit to glean from as a fan of entertainment, but it's also like, you could leave a little bit, you know, leave something to the imagination. Not something to the imagination.
This is just too much. Take it back.
Like they turned,
take
it back. The WWE is turning into a prostitute. You know, they not covering up. Even for the imagination.
Oh, yeah, they are holding out.
The tasties and a G-string. That's what they got. That's what they
Yeah.
We are a little bit of crisis from WWE having OnlyFans.
So. Yeah. That's where we at right now. That's literally where we at right now, which I do not like. Take it back, Triple H. Just take it back. It's not too late. Not too late. Pitch another show to Netflix. Just take it back. Now, I see WWE is trying to make you care about Lyra Rob, do you care? Do you really care?
Hell no. And here's I am not a Lyra Valkyria fan. I'll put that point blank. I've seen a few of her matches. I never really watched much of her NXT run. I think that's where she got big. I've seen what I've seen from her on the main roster, and I am not with it. I will say this, of the people that are there, she just does not do anything for me. It, like, her in ring, I saw the matches with Dakota Kai, saw the matches, you know, like she just had with the tag match. Like, she just doesn't do it for me. And so I now that they basically are pairing her against Becky Lynch, they had the, like, 2-day tag team essentially that they had, where they were the 2-day champs. Now that, you know, Raquel and Liv are back at it. I mean, granted, they did it for the moment. Titles are just a symbol, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know if Becky Lynch is gonna get me to care about Lyra Valkyria. I really don't. Like, I think Becky Lynch is a talent.
I don't think she should have won the Intercontinental title.
I don't either.
She should have went to Dakota Kai.
Same. I thought it was gonna go to Dakota Kai, but it was just like they were like, "Hey, we want to big up Lyra. Lyra got a bunch of fans. They're doing the woo, all that kind of stuff and everything like that."
There's no sense.
Like, it ain't for me. It ain't for me, dog. And mm-hmm. You know, respect to her, I get it, but it's like I don't think Becky is gonna make me care about her. But I could be pleasantly wrong. I've been a lot of wrong. Nate knows. Jarvis knows. Mm-hmm. Plenty wrong about a lot of shit. All right. This ain't gonna be for me. I don't feel like it is.
Okay. So do y'all feel like this is a full on turn for Becky?
Yeah. When you say turn. Like, heel?
She'll be the next Paul Heyman girl.
So this is my problem this turn. This is my problem with this turn. This is the cheapest fucking way to turn somebody, bro.
Yeah.
So microwaved.
And it pissed me off because we saw this during the night. It was like, I want to turn you. I just don't know how. I'm going to put you in a tag and then make you turn your back on them. And it's like, I've seen this. Don't do this to make me care about the other person. Don't do this. If we want to care, we'll care. WWE cares. They got wellness care and all kind of other goddamn shit. Fans will figure out how to care. But don't do this to me. This to me.
They shouldn't have did the whole title switch 2 days and
yes.
I would have enjoyed better have Becky be the surprise partner. Have her get on the mic, you know, say what you know, she came for like her and all that, you know, taking cool or whatever. Have her turn in the WrestleMania match and beat her down.
Mm-hmm.
And they just and walk her down.
Yeah,
you could have
that would have been so much better. Right? Mm-hmm. That would have been so much better.
Or, like, guess what? If we don't need to turn, don't fucking turn her. And don't do it. Just don't. Well, you can go ahead, Rob. That shit irked me, though. Watch this shit play like that irked me. It just irked me.
Because my thing is, like, if your thing is, all right, we're going to have Becky Lynch turn on Lyra. Have it be weeks from now, not 2 days. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about, like, with, you know, this shit is formulaic. And that's one of the things that probably they're going to do on WWE Unreal. Like, mm-hmm. This shit is formulaic. Have that shit play out to where, hey, we can get used to Lyra and Becky being a tag team and actually get used to them basically having some form of relationship. They've never really had interactions on the main roster like this before. So, like, most people are seeing this shit for the first time. So her turning on her is going to get some people, but the grand majority of folks is like, oh, you just got her. Oh, you don't like her already. Oh, okay, cool. Because I was like, oh, I forgot they were from the same block. Or no. Mm-hmm. So Becky Irish, she's Scottish, I think. Hey, Lyra Scottish.
Yeah,
Irish. Lyra Irish. Either way, they're from there. But yeah, like, I know that they were cool, and I know Lyra basically looked up to Becky, but it was like so quick that it was just like, why did you do that in the first place? I'm with Jar. I would have basically had it right then and there. Like, have her come back, have her turn. Right then and there, because at least you get the bigger pop of a heel turn right there. They're on the motherfucking stage. Now, maybe it was just like, hey, this is so we can basically make you closer to a Grand Slam champ for Lyra. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was it, but it's like, felt like a waste of time.
If you're going to do it the Hulk Hogan way. Let him come out there and think that he's helping the good guy and turn and go NWO. Do not waste my time. Do not make me feel foolish. Because I feel like you tried to insult my intelligence whenever you did that shit. Turning her after that.
I think also that they need a heel that's not going to get the Baron Corbin. Charlotte came back, and I feel like she damn near getting the Baron Corbin treatment. She getting booed for being hated, not because she a heel. You know, people put that on like Nia Jax. So they need a heel that's could get booed for heel stuff, and not just because they don't want to see the
person. Yeah, I think she was supposed to come back as the babyface, but then became the heel. And it was just like, it fucked. That's all. Granted, I'm seeing this from like articles basically saying, like, yeah, or some like blog post saying, like, Charlotte was supposed to come back. She pissed a lot of people off that she basically became the heel. And you can see that like Tiffy wasn't really ready to become the babyface, really. I think she was ready to stay the heel or stay a heel ish kind of way. Like, I don't think she was ready for all that. Like, Charlotte basically was the fucked everything up.
Let me tell you something. They want to turn Charlotte heel, let her go get her ass and get some ass implants, and then people can get behind it. And they'll be with her heel turn, because guess what? She's another one. It's like, nobody really wants to see you. That's why the people hate you.
And Tiffany said it as much.
I'm on the other side of the fence. I wanted Charlotte to walk away the victor at WrestleMania. That was just me, you know. I just wanted to see it, you know. I wanted Charlotte to come back and be that. I'm the HBIC. I'm the head bitch in charge. This a new title. But they went a different direction.
Honestly, I'm at the point where it's like, the only thing Charlotte could do for me is go against Bianca and basically be that, and complete the four horsewoman Infinity Stone, that basic Infinity Gauntlet that Bianca basically got right now. I don't. Yeah, other than that, in a match with maybe Jade, I really don't care to see Charlotte ever again, for real.
There you go. I really don't. Look, you want to make me see her? Like I said, give her some fake booty cheeks or something, though. Because every time I see her, I'd be like, flight is a bag, Charlotte.
Back longer than Grand. Back longer than Grand Boulevard, dog.
Charlotte come walking to the ring. She come walking to the ring with this.
That's it. That's all you see. Oof. I'd be like, you see? You see what she bought out? You see what she bought behind? Nothing. Boy. I'd be like, The Rock, what's that behind you? Nothing. Who is that calling for you? Nothing.
Straighter than the curve.
Yes, buddy.
That's what I'm saying, though. She kills me whenever I see her. I'd be like, come on, though. And on a side note, you can tell every woman that Shawn Michaels has picked for wrestling, because they are shapely and stand up. God damn it, Sean. I gotta give you a hand with that shit, boy. You know what you was doing. I got a homeboy. He the son watch wrestling. He clicked the channel and he said, who that black chicken?
See, thing is, Sean is from the old school of, hey, what's that? Like, that's all. Like, he knows what the formula is. He knows it's like, hey, I want to look at that. And then he's like, let me just go for it. And that's what it is. Because I know, like, there was a woman on Blue Sky that was like, Shawn Michaels just recruited, or WWE just recruited me. And it's like, oh, yeah, I see why. He has the things. He's like, I would like for you to basically apply for this position. And it's like, we're all with you. We're all with it.
I feel like Shawn Michaels' line is the same when I say, you have a beautiful future behind you and in front of you.
I'm pretty sure Shawn walked in with a paper plate wrapped in aluminum foil. Had to.
I'm telling you, that's the only thing I can be. Shawn doing his thing. He knows what the fuck he about to do. Y'all may not know what y'all doing. Yeah, keep doing what you doing, Sean. Now, the Deadly Alliance. They need a third. So I see Vizky is the only one. He didn't get the chance to put his up here.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go first or you want to go last, Vizky? We need three people. Three possible.
I'm gonna let y'all, since y'all got y'all, I'm gonna let y'all go first.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm gonna let you go first, Rob. All
right. So I got through my top three and I got my first three out, like my dark horse candidates. Mm-hmm. So these are kind of interchangeable. And really, it's like seven. So bear with me. So the first one on my list is Jimmy Uso. I think Jimmy Uso is going to somehow turn on his brother once again. Like, it seems like that shit keeps happening. And because Paul Heyman has such a relationship with the Samoans and basically with his dad, like, I think he's going to do some kind of angle when it comes to that. My next one, this could be either one, but I really think it's going to be the first one and not necessarily the second one for reasons. Zoe Stark. I think Zoe Stark is going to be that member of the Dangerous Alliance because I think that they really want to have Zoe Stark in a place of prominence because they've been trying with her for so long to basically make her so relevant. And I think this is going to be the launch pad for her. Ooh, I think they, I ain't saying what it should be. I'm saying what I think is going to happen. So I'm saying that I think that they're going to basically put her, because the person I have alongside of there is kind of more likely, but also to a point that I don't think they want to kind of do this. And that's Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. Like, Becky Lynch would be more perfect for basically this, especially because you got Seth Rollins there, her husband, even though they don't really talk about it as much anymore. But it's I think that would actually be a great one, especially because she's a great talker. Heyman's a great talker. I think that would be a basically perfect match for her to be in that, especially with her just now turning heel again. The last one that I have on my first three is Pete Dunne. I think Pete Dunne would be a great bruiser. I think he would be a great person to basically be a stretcher in that, especially when you have the collection of Bron Breakker, Seth Rollins, Jimmy Uso, Becky Lynch, or Zoe Stark. I think that would basically be a nice little pairing, somebody that basically come in and, you know, take out the knees of the big guy or whoever it is, like somebody that can, like, really come in and play. So this is my next three out, and these could basically be interchanged with it. Braun Strowman, Bronson Reed, who I think is really going to be in that group once he comes back healthy. And this one, I think it's going to shock, and basically y'all going to call me stupid. Cody Rhodes. I think Cody Rhodes turns because Cody Rhodes says, I need an edge. The wise man is going to give me an edge. I want to basically be that, and I want to have that to propel me against John Cena. I think it's like something, it's one of those kind of like out there, like shot in the dark kind of things that might not happen, but I can see Cody Rhodes coming back and snapping and basically says, I want to be in the Dangerous Alliance. You worked with my dad. I basically wanted to have it something like this. I think it's going to basically happen.
If he goes Dangerous Alliance, Cena turns back face.
I don't think he's going to turn back face. I think it's going to be where... Yeah, I think he's going to basically be... I think it's going to basically be to where Cody Rhodes turns heel, then turns face. I think it's going to be something more along those lines.
Might be. So, I had a little bit different look at this, okay? Mm-hmm. So, have y'all ever saw, like, the original Dangerous Alliance? Most of them, I'm a hark on WCW and ECW, okay? Mm-hmm. ECW had Heyman, which was their manager, okay? But they had people like Don Morocco, Eddie Gilbert, Jimmy Snuka, Shane Douglas, Sherry Martel, Sabu, Taz, okay. So whenever I kind of thought about this, I said, what if Heyman is mixing him and some of the guys more of a WCW-ish type vibe? And the first person I kind of went to was McIntyre, because I thought about Ricky. Okay? So McIntyre, to me, at times has Rick Rude-ish type things about him. Okay? And I think that would fit what they're going for. That's how I personally feel. I feel like he'd have the look. He'd fit in good with those guys. He'd be a Heyman guy. It uplifts him. It gives him somewhere to go, to me. Mm-hmm. Now, Bianca. I say Bianca because look, why not go out on the extreme? Why not take a chick that could be dominant and not only be dominant, she could hold her own between the two guys? Sometimes you need just that little bit of feminine touch in them. And could you imagine Bianca as a Heyman girl?
Okay.
With that current lineup?
But does she need to be a Heyman girl?
That'd be my thing.
She may not need it, but think about the image that's projected with them three. See, I know she may not need it, but do we think Seth Rollins needs Heyman?
No.
There we go.
None of them really need it.
Yeah, but the image, and what we know what Paul Heyman does, it's like that little sprinkling on top. It's like that little sprinkle, though. Everybody loves some sprinkles on some shit that you know you're not supposed to be eating, that sugar red, and we think it's delicious. We all love this. And the last one is Sami Zayn.
I can see that a lot.
Wow. Bust my head.
Think about it. He's a rough, tough guy. He fits in well with those guys. That shit could work.
Definitely see that work.
That gives them a guy. But what?
No, go ahead. Go finish.
Think about it, though. It lets him slide in a slot where he could be that kind of, I'm a dirty worky type guy. I may not be the biggest, but I'm a dirty worker. I'm going to help my guys out. We're going to be Heyman guys together. He's that teamwork, gritty type dude. Matter of fact, you know what I thought of him as, Rob? You remember how Pillman was after he got hurt? Yeah. How he had his work and he had his vinegar? He could be like that, except he can still work. He can still legit work. That's why I think he could be another member in there, though.
But that's the thing, though. Like, Sammy already had a thing against Bron Breakker. So are you saying that basically he's going to mend fences with Bron Breakker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about it, though. They mend fences, Heyman guys forever. You got your dirty work guy with these other two. You got your huge bruiser.
Yep.
You got your smoother guy. It works out. The dynamic is there. I'm either thinking Zayn, or I'm thinking somebody like Bianca or a female presence. I like my pick of McIntyre, but I feel like they need something else. It has to be something different. And it has to go away from what the other two guys are. That's why I think it has to be either Zayn or a female. Because, let's see, female-wise, who do we really think could maybe benefit female wise?
I can name a few. Go ahead.
I have a top female pick that I think would be perfect. She's always been a badass to me, and they need to.
I think I know who you're going.
To eliminate every single competitor in the elimination chamber.
Yep.
Shayna Baszler.
Yep. I
can work.
Because I was thinking about that when I was thinking about Zoe Stark. The only thing that basically made me go away from it is that I don't think that they would want... I don't know if they want to do anything else with Shayna. I think that they're...
Just think like, she'll be so pissed if they use her.
She would. But I feel like they want Zoe Stark. Yeah. I think they want Zoe Stark to be in there. I think Shayna Baszler would be much better. And a badass. Like you said, somebody's going to beat everybody's ass. Period. And basically has the chops to prove it. Another one
that looks believable.
Right. Another one I would think would be in there, but she's just too short in the two.
Let's see.
Lola Vice. Lola Vice would be basically somebody that has that kind of pedigree that basically can do some shit like that. But I don't know if they want to do that. Because I was also thinking the same thing with Trick Williams. Because they both are rumored to basically be pulled up to the main roster soon. Those would be two picks that I would love to basically see as Paul Heyman people. But the thing about it is
Lola ready for the main roster?
I think she is. I think she's a star. Mm-hmm. I think she's a star.
Okay, I'm gonna throw out one long one here. This is just a Hail Mary. What would y'all think if it was Jade Cargill?
That would be wild.
I don't know if that would fit.
I'm gonna explain to you why. You remember Jackie from back in the day, Jacqueline?
Yes.
What if she was bought in as a Jacqueline type chick?
I don't think she's that though. I don't think she's that,
but like she could be
the China, you know.
Yeah,
I don't think she's that either.
Really? Like,
Jay Carhill's comp to me is Brock Lesnar. Like the straight up superhuman, can do everything, strongest as hell, more athletic than basically mostly everybody, bigger than mostly everybody that basically could do that. I don't see her as an enforcer though. I see her as somebody that is just that super, like a bigger Bianca. Not trying to be as black women as black women, but like just a bigger Bianca that is super strong, super everything, super athletic, that basically can do it all. Almost has some charisma to her. I just don't see her. I don't see her and Paul basically meshing chemistry wise. I don't see that coming together. But like Jade, as far as what she is, a great enforcer. That's why I put Braun in there. It's like an enforcer that basically somebody can have in there and be a bruiser. But like somebody, I don't see her as being that.
Now, who else do you think would be there?
I got three.
All right.
I already feel like Braun Breaker is that enforcer.
Correct.
So, you know, you got Seth, you have the leader, the enforcer. And I could possibly see them going to four people. But if they're going to do just three, I got it. Finn Balor.
Because
he's going to eventually break away from Judgment Day. And it's going
to be like that.
You know? And he could join up with them as kind of that smaller guy, that more athletic guy. Also, possibly, just a left field one, LA Knight. They have ran into each other in past episodes of SmackDown. They have, you know, bumped and talked and had a little segment. He is still beefing with, you know, blood. So I feel like that one. And this is kind of like a AB kind of pick on the same stepping stone right here. Grayson Waller, Austin Theory, or both.
I like that. I like Grayson Waller there. I really like Grayson Waller. I like Austin Theory there too.
Bring them in. You know, most groups have a tag team too. So like if they wanted to bring them in as the tag team, or just one of them turn on each other, because you know, I think it's almost time for them maybe to go their separate ways.
I could see one of them being brought in, but the tag team that I would basically bring in is the Street Profits. Like that is the team that I would want in there. Like as far as main roster teams, that's the team I want.
They need to be elevated even more, so that could work with them. Yeah. That could work with them.
And I don't want to bring this up, you know, but the TLC match that happened last night, I think it's on par, giving 2001 a run for its money. All three teams put on, all the spots hit perfect. I was floored. I was amazed, and I was like, "Why the hell wasn't this at WrestleMania?"
I'll tell you why. Because they decided to waste our time with other shit.
New Day and them could have been on Raw with that match.
That was a good match though.
If I had to pick one, that's TLC.
I haven't seen the match yet, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. And I think you're right. That was a really solid match though that they had, that New Day and War Raiders had at WrestleMania. I think that was a really good match.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I ain't saying it was garbage or nothing, but if you're talking about WrestleMania caliber.
Yes.
You know, once he announced it, I was like, that's going to outshine any tag match we see. I already knew it.
And maybe that was the point. Maybe they were like, if we have this on here, these other matches where you have the women's tag match, you have New Day and Royal Raiders, it's going to make them pale in comparison. And maybe that's why they going with something like that.
Great point.
Yeah. If we had to pick one match to remove from WrestleMania, who are we taking? What match would you want to unsee?
So for me, it'd be Tiffany and Charlotte. I thought that match, I didn't want that match, and I saw it and I was like, this blows. I'm not with it. And people liked it for the fighting of it, but I was like, I'm not. And granted, the Lyra,
they was buying the tag team match.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Rob. I could have just done without that match. That was just
way too tough.
I like whenever people work and it's good work, but that match felt so like, man, y'all don't want this shit. Like, even the Io Sky, Bianca, the finish for that match, enjoyed the fuck up out of it. Great finish. And if you notice, we had matches that had good finishes. Granted, the Cena match, I rated like a C because it was slow. And I felt like that one could have been faster than what it was, but I felt like they were gonna draw out time. So you know, it is what it is. But that Charlotte match, I'm gonna be honest, I don't think people wanted to see that match. That match was horrible. Okay, that was a shit. That was probably to say that that's WrestleMania. That's like one of the shittiest matches that
Charlotte's worst WrestleMania performance.
Yeah, and
I was sitting there trying to think, what other match has been that bad that you watched during the WrestleMania?
Jimmy and Jay last year. That was a stinker. I understand. Like, they might have been both like kind of, you know, big in the moment and kind of like, oh man, I'm fighting my brother. That match blew.
One more, Rob, that we were both there for. The Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, when they start the
honeymoon. Ooh, yeah.
Everybody was playing with beach balls, booing. Ain't nobody paid attention to that match. We was all there. Everybody was just talking. I don't think nobody looked at that match.
It was like, that match happened. That's it.
And then when the bell rung, people was like, oh, it's over? Oh,
okay. We go? Leave now? Right.
That's bad. But I will say this. Best 3 minute spot, Randy Orton, Joe Hendry.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. That was a fun match.
I'm going on a little rant for a quick second.
Go ahead, sir.
Let me tell you, all you unseasoned, mark-ass, punk-ass, no understanding of how wrestling operate fans. Talking about Joe Hendry got embarrassed, TNA got embarrassed. You know how big of a rub that was? The TNA champion coming out there working with one of the legends, actually getting a little bit of offense, not just taking a finisher and a pin.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, having Randy do your pose, that was the biggest rub. That's going to put so many eyes on TNA. And when you unseasoned motherfuckers learn that shit, you're going to start to enjoy it.
They don't understand the business part of it, though. They don't understand. I'm going to be real with you. I want to bring him on the main roster, though. I want to bring him on the main roster.
Speak his name.
I got to say this. Tell me that y'all didn't get a little tingle and like that good feeling come up. Watching that and then watching them have so much fun, and then Randy at the end, just Randy, just being good.
And I gotta say,
Randy shit. From God damn it, the loop.
Thank you.
I think that was probably, you know, they got the greatest RKOs. To me, that was probably the funniest.
I love that one because it was legit out of nowhere. I was like, oh, they gave him his spot. Oh, okay.
kudos to the cameraman for actually getting the zoom in correct.
Yes.
Kudos.
That was dope.
I'm willing to stand here and see Joe Hendry to the main roster.
I'm willing to concur.
I don't know what you're gonna do with your championship TNA. Goddamn it, Triple H, get the goddamn contract ready. I'm ready. Let's go right now.
You already
give
did
me
it
a
with
fucking Joe Hendry shirt. I'm ready to go.
You already did it with Jordan and Grace. Like you can figure it out.
No, y'all have no idea sitting here how much nostalgia that shit felt so good to watch that.
It did.
Yeah.
Look, and like he said, some of you dick in the booty ass motherfuckers who ain't figured this shit out, y'all need to realize whenever somebody's on the come up, dog, he ain't got to win. Just being on that stage and getting your moment, that one single side, even though he caught the RKO out of nowhere, and that shit was out of nowhere, Rob. That motherfucker was wide right, nigga came in from wide right to left, and bam, man. It was just so amazing to watch that, and I was like, damn, that felt really good with Joe Hendry.
It did.
The
surprise pop I had, because even though we talked about it and spoke it up, so I didn't really expect it to happen.
Nah.
I was like, oh, shit.
Nah.
And he appeared, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and here's another one. Put him in a chase behind Dominic now. You don't have to win. Just put him in the chase line down. Yeah. God damn it, WWE. Do I'm writing storyline. Don't you come out with that stupid ass TV show.
We're going to expose them.
They're going to have our ass right there on the fucking show. Like sitting there. Like, what about when we did this? Like, what about if they did this? Like,
they're going to be watching us getting ideas.
Bro, right. Because I'm telling you, think about him chasing Dominic. Think about the comedy gold,
bro,
that
you can have in there.
I'm here
he
for it.
He always makes up songs. He does concerts about him. He makes little vignettes about his opponents. That would be so gold, bro.
Hey, not only that, could y'all imagine R-Truth having like a random moment in this feud?
Oh, that would be funny.
Get on it, WWE. Nah, get on it. Nah, fuck this.
So look, WWE. We just want contracts. $200,000 a year a piece,
mm-hmm.
and free tickets to everything.
Yeah, exactly.
We just want to be them.
That's all.
I want to be doing the same stuff Green Shirt Dude doing. That's what I want.
Like WWE, want that beard on your TV airways? You just say yes. Say yes.
All right. I promise you, we can make your event live, though. We can make this happen.
Look at us. Look at us.
Hey, you can put me on commentary. You made something.
Hear this voice.
You can have us there interviewing, doing all kind of shit. You can put me in a goddamn sketch of the New Day. I'm going to make them cut up and laugh. I will make this a situation. I will have fun on this, and fun is part of what the people like to see the wrestlers have. Because trust me, that Joe Hendry, Randy Orton spot is going to be talked about for years.
For years.
We're gonna say, man, you remember that spot that Randy Orton did with Joe Hendry? Randy Orton is going to retire, and we're going to remember that spot.
Definitely.
We're going to remember that spot. And I know some of y'all feel different. But take it up with your mom, not me. That's it for you. Because I know what I'm talking about. I've been watching wrestling for too damn long not to be able to tell you what's going on.
Be some seasoned fans on.
Exactly. And I'm not going to pull punches whenever I say that gave me that gave me just attitude, era, just nostalgia for a second right now. I was like, shit, that was it. Hell, after that, do you know what I had to go watch? Do y'all remember the Stone Cold shit where he was trapping DX?
Man, I know
where he caught whatchamacallit, a bear trap, caught Billy Gunn in the snare trap and shit, and then told then hit X-Pac with the case, killed him, keep your hand out, and your head in the sky, and the ceiling fell on him.
That was all it did get at this time, you feel, man.
I'm telling you, that's all we needed, dog. That's all we needed. And I love every minute of it. God damn it, WWE, hire us all. We got you. I know you paying them back there in the goddamn room a bunch of money. Like, I don't need to be on TV. Just let me clock into the meetings. We're going to come in there. We're going to write funny shit. And I got you.
Easy. Easy.
You get a chef on the same. Chef,
what,
too? I had catering bumping.
Two for one, though.
You know?
We will have this thing jumping for y'all. But we're not going to hold y'all much longer. This is Bruh Me Goes Podcast. Remember, like, subscribe, tell your people about us. Yes, blue sky everywhere. Look up in the sky, we might be there. YouTube, Spotify, we're everywhere. If you don't want to watch us on video on YouTube, they do have the audio. We're on Spotify. You can plug in. You can listen to us
anywhere. Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, like whatever you get your podcast. Podcast Index, Pandora. Yep. All them. iHeart. We are there.
iHeart. We are there.
Listen to us. Tell your friends about us. You want to do that. Yeah. That'd be great for us.
We don't get this kind of content from people like this. You know, we don't really need this.
That's it. That's it. Like, is it nowhere else?
That's it, bro. That's it. But, about to get up out of here, Bruh Me Goes Podcast. Anything y'all boys want to say we get up out of here?
So I did want to talk about the results over the mock draft that we had. Let me put my smart glasses on. So as we, you know, we were talking about it before the show. Damn, it's really reflective. We were talking about before the show that basically, you know, we had, you know, we had our mock draft. Like if you go to Blue Sky, you go to Facebook. We did put up what mock drafts that we were going to have, like what picks we thought were going to go in the first round. And so I do have the results. And if you gentlemen would like to indulge me, I could basically tell you about the results of the mock draft and how many we had right. So are you guys ready? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the standings go as follows. There was a tie for first for 8 picks. Correctly, and that was between moi and Nate. We both had 8 picks correctly. Now, granted, I had the first 8 picks right and nothing else, and Nate had the farthest picks, where he had the first, what was this, 5? Yeah, he had the first 5 right, and then he had basically 1 at 7 with Armand Membo. 14 with Tyler Warren, and then 29 with Josh Connor. So he had picks towards the end. I just had the first 8, and that was it.
Yeah.
My boy Jarvis came in with a whopping 3 picks correctly. And that's the first 2.
So
first
you had that right.
you want to recount?
You sure did that right.
I mean, it's all right there on Blue Sky. Everybody can go see the fact check. I mean, like, did you run that again? Run it again. Run the card again. Run the card again. See, so he had the first 2 correct, and then he picked Tyler Warren going to the Indianapolis Colts. So that is what we have. You know, like we like I said, tie for first, and then. Coming up the rear. So
I picked more of designers versus where I actually thought. Maybe I should be in my designers, you know.
You were going on, here's who you should get, teams.
Exactly. I was going what they should have went with.
Okay. Yeah. That shit didn't work. But like yes. So it's still to where, all right, we're going to have a tiebreaker. So that we might do the NBA because I don't know shit about the NBA. But or at least the NBA draft. Like, we'll do that. That'd be our next tiebreaker, I guess. But yes, like, subscribe. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Hopefully, y'all have a great weekend. I just had a hiccup.
My only last comment. Shout out to my boy, Dirty Dom. Winning
the title. Yes.
In that fan.
Yes.
Coop de Grace into the frog splash. Beautiful ending. Turn my boy face because the pop he got He's ready for a face rip.
Absolutely.
Yes, he is.
Absolutely. That's all I have to say about that.
Jack. Yeah, that was a great finish. Oh, and fuck that Charlotte Flair match. Good night. We getting up out of here.
Deuces.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Migos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.